Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 47 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango, still without the beard. With me is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one on Twitter. And of course, we've got Jared Kimber with us. You can find him literally everywhere. If you are new to the Crick Picks podcast, what we do in this show is that we take a generic cricket category and we draft our top five for that category. But sometimes we combine to assemble teams. We've done that for like, I don't know, six shows consecutively now or something. And this one is also going to be one of those. It's more exciting though, definitely more exciting than the previous ones. Test team of the 80s. Right. And Jared, you might be very happy to bag first pick for this because you're littered with options over here.
Imran Khan.
Ah, you've taken it. He's done it. Well,
there's no other player. He basically in the 80s, and it's not quite for the full amount of the 80s, but basically in the 80s, he averages less than 20 with the ball and more than 50 for the bat. It's not quite that. I think it's a slight overlap with the 90s as well.
Yeah, but it's 81 to 91 where he averages below 20 with the ball and over 50 with the bat, which is insane. That's 51 test matches, by the way.
He essentially, what he does in that period is he, I think it's the only time for a decade anyone has ever given the same impact as Bradman. It's not quite the same. I mean, if anyone, those of us unlucky enough to watch Imran Khan bat, will know that it was kind of stodginess in a lot of 40s and 70s and everything. Like, it wasn't great, graceful batting or anything, but his bowling was absolutely incredible. And then towards the end of the decade, he could bowl because he had so many other good bowling options. He could just bring himself on when it was suiting him as well.
Can't believe I've missed out on Imran two podcasts in a row, especially in the one.
You would have picked him anyway, right?
No, in this one I would have. And that one I probably should have, you know, when we made that team to beat the West Indies. And I had first pick.
He would have picked Peter Sleep or Greg Matthews or...
I had first pick in that one.
John Wright.
Ramesh Raja.
This one was a very obvious first pick, right? Because he has that golden run for 10 years and nine of those years were in the 80s. And I mean, he was one of the cricketers of the 80s. So he starts, maybe even captains this team. Jared, you've already won this because, you know, the popularity of Imran Khan and how he's a very polarizing character as well these days in Pakistan. So either people will hate you or they'll love you. Anyway, I'm going to go for the next very obvious option, Viv Richards, right? And just to kind of give people an idea of the thought process behind the idea of this podcast, I thought that we're building this team to beat the West Indies, but none of those West Indian players will make it to the team. So that's why I was like, let's do a team of the 80s so that those guys can make it as well. Viv Richards scored 8,540 runs at an average of over 50, playing the way he did. He was an anomaly, right? He was batting at a strike rate, which was unknown at that time. And I know a lot of that is ODIs, but even in Test cricket, Jared, he was a very aggressive batter. And I mean, who else could we have gone for the second pick, right?
His average isn't quite as high as some of the other guys, but he plays like 80 Test matches. And I think his decline starts in the 80s as well. He probably peaked Viv Richards, might have been in the 70s. He's very big chance of, if you know, in the future when we do the best thing in the 70s of also of coming up as well. But he, when you factor in his strike rate as well, so you know there's no problem with him being the second pick.
He would have made the team for sure, but I guess we can debate on what pick number he should have been. But I feel quite confident, and it's a strong one. Finally, some turnaround for me.
It had to happen eventually.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Estelle.
Okay. So I've got two, right? I'll go with easy picks. I go with Malcolm Marshall as my first one.
Yep.
Who also averaged under 20 in the...
19.91.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that is crazy.
323 wickets, right? So 63 matches, across 63 matches.
Basically plays most of his career in the 80s, right? And what was the strike rate, sorry?
Strike rate of 44. So
pretty good. Very good.
He's handy.
I mean, again, with this one, like our previous one, we could probably pick either 12 West Indians. but I mean, that was a pretty obvious pick for me. For my number two, I'll give Behram a bit of pain by picking a Pakistani.
Yeah,
bowler.
You can go for him. Oh, bowler. Interesting. Okay. All right.
I go with Abdul Qadir.
Okay. Very, very good.
As a spinner
pick
for our team.
When she said Pakistani, I thought she was going somewhere else, though.
I'm more surprised that we've gone Abdul Qadir so early.
Okay. That is purely to mess with Behram.
Oh, but if that's the case, then it's the right pick.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're both really good picks because if you talk to any of those batters who played in that generation, the 80s, they'll say that Malcolm Marshall, a lot of them will say that Malcolm Marshall is the toughest bowler they've ever faced. And Abdul Qadir was like the only spinner doing well at that time, right?
Mm, yeah, so, and dominates. So, yeah, they're both easily in this side.
Yeah, those guys picked themselves. And I will now go for another Pakistani, actually. I thought Estelle was going to pick him to bother me, but I'll do it. Javed Miadad, I think. Yeah. Also someone who picks himself, never averaged below 50 in Test cricket. And in the 80s, he was undoubtedly one of the best batters, you know, of that decade. And I mean, you're pairing him up with Viv. So Viv at 3, Javed at 4 is already very, very intimidating. And those guys are also characters who would like kind of get under, well, Javed would definitely get under your skin. He'll have that, you know, serial killer, or not serial killer, but like, you know, what would I say? He is the...
This is taking a turn.
Head honcho of a heist, right? He is that criminal-esque character who is just there for, you know, some shits and giggles as well at times, and a very, very street smart cricketer, someone who would nudge the ball around very smartly, get those singles and doubles, and very, very intelligent, you know, far more intelligent than many of his peers.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
Yep. I'm happy with the last two picks because that allows me to take Richard Hadley, who probably should be in the top four picks, and I didn't think he would fall this low. So I'm pretty happy to get Imran Khan and Richard Hadley right at the top of my list here. And then I'll just finish off the bowling as well. I'll go Joel Garner.
Yeah, Joel Garner had to be there. That's a really good bowling attack, by the way. Crazy.
It's a fantastic bowling attack there. So we... You know, if we've got Hadley, we've got Imran at,
seven.
It might have to be six in this side, depending what we do from here. Because the wicketkeeper gets a little bit more icky, doesn't it? So we've got Imran at six or seven, Hadley at eight, Marshall at nine, Garner and Abdul Qadir. So our bowling is kind of already done, but we can still slip some other bowlers in if we need to.
Absolutely. I think we're looking quite good, in good shape for once, after what has been a chaotic day of crick picks. Anyway, Estelle, you've got some... Or is it me?
It's you.
It is me. All right. Way to put me on the spot, guys. Man, this is a tough one. I could go opener, which is very safe. And I could go middle order batter, which is also very safe. Or I could go wicketkeeper, but that's not going to make me win this draft, is it? Although I only think that there's one wicketkeeper who's capable enough of being in this side. I'll take the easy route. I'll go Sunil Gavaskar. We need an opener. He's averaging more than 15 test cricket. The 80s are when he does really, really well. Although at the end of the 80s, he kind of slides off. But I mean, he's a safe pick and we need someone to be dogged, I guess, in that era, you know, up top. He can do that.
He was my first choice as opener in this side as well. Mm.
I think with Viv, Javed and Gavaskar, I've done quite well.
You've certainly annoyed some bowlers with those three. Like, I mean, on top of them just being talented, all three of them would just give everyone the shits.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, Estelle's going to finish off here.
Oof. Yeah. Wait. Yeah, she is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, me. So I've got two picks. And who do we need? We need another opener.
Mm-hmm. We need a wicketkeeper. We need more batting in the middle order. And we have a 12th. Available to us as well.
Yep.
Okay. Let me see.
She could either completely win this for us, or our team's going to shit, isn't it?
So why do you say that?
Because there is one really obvious pick for the middle order batter, right? I almost went for that guy.
Is it someone you picked before today?
Maybe. I'm not saying anything.
Okay, the easy one is the keeper, right? It has to be Dujon from West Indies.
I had
so 500s during that period, averaging just like only 35, but he's got 500s, 1450s.
Very good average for the 80s for a wicketkeeper, by the way, 35.
Yeah, that was probably, you know, Alan Knott before him. Mm-hmm. Really, there aren't that many players that average over 30, 32 as a wicketkeeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Second one.
Middle. Okay, let me... Should I go opener?
You could. There is also a really good opener.
Feel like Estelle's not as confident here. I think no, something's happened. And we got
because Dujon is the one.
Well, I thought Dujon was the one I would have left till last and made me pick it to screw my side up. So very thankful that you've gone with Dujon.
I was about to pick Dujon, but then I was like, no, I'm doing keeper, well.
Right?
There is no other keeper.
We could have done the keeper last.
Yeah, when people see the names, they'll be like, oh, Dujon, okay.
Do you know what? Keepers and spinners quite often screw us up because of this kind of thing. Anyway, good luck.
Okay, so I'll pick an opener. And I'm going to pick one of the West Indians. It has to be one of them, right?
Yeah,
so
it has to be.
Yes.
I think so.
But I don't know which one is better. So I'm just going to go with Gordon Greenidge because...
Good choice.
He's also got he's also kind of a part-time bowler, isn't he?
No,
but Jared always tells me, and I think he's told me the story like 5 times now, that Gordon Greenidge played for too long. Had he not played for too long, then his average would have looked a lot better. But it's still 40-something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in the 80s, it's still okay. He was probably at his best maybe in the late 70s, again, like Viv. And then is an incredible player through the 80s and is on the decline at this point. But even on the decline, he still has a better record than Desmond Haynes.
They've actually got really similar records in the 80s, right? 5,070 runs, 5,030 runs.
I don't think just Desmond Haynes would pick himself over Gordon Greenidge. Do you know what I mean? Like, like I was terrified you were going to pick Desmond Haynes there. But again, not a bad player, Desmond Haynes at all.
Yeah.
But it's just that Gordon Greenidge is. Gordon Greenidge just had a gear. And if I remember correctly, Desmond Haynes doesn't make a lot of runs away from home. He makes the majority of his runs at home. Oh, I could be wrong with that. But Gordon Greenidge, an absolute, you know, attacking player. Who could also play the moving ball? That combination isn't that common in Test cricket history.
Yeah. Plus, you pair him up with Sunil Gavaskar, and he's a perfect foil to Gavaskar, right? Yeah. He can be the aggressive batter. Gavaskar can kind of shut up shop and hold the fort. And then you've got Viv and Miadad coming up next. Wow. This is a really strong team. Okay. So, Jared, I need a middle order batter, or what's my option? What's my other option?
Well, we have a 12th option. So, you could go complete wild card and just pick someone who overlaps with everyone else.
Probably another batter, right?
I could trust you to pick the middle order batter that I have in my head and go for a wild card pick. But then I feel like you might just go for the wild card pick as well, or someone better. So I'll make this easy for the both of us and pick Border. Yeah, 2 podcasts in a row I've picked up or drafted Alan Border. He can bat at 5 in this team after Miadad, and I think dogged character, true grit were the words I used in the last one when I picked him, and kind of, he's not pretty, but he'll get the job done. He's effective. And again, we've got lots of leaders in this team now. Great minds, right? We've got Imran, Javed, Border, Viv. Who else do we have in terms of leadership?
No, that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, there's plenty of good options. All right, I'm just going to finish off with Kapil Dev then.
Yeah.
It could be Kapil Dev or Ian Botham.
It could be Waz as well.
Yes, I think we need a little bit more batting. I think it has to be Botham or... do I want Kapil or do I want Botham? Because we need to back up our batting. No, actually, I'll go Botham, even though I think Kapil Dev is a better player, just because I think Botham can bat. Botham bats at number 6. And we might need more number 6 than we do anything else. And the thing is... When you look at both of them or Kapil Dev, we don't really need their bowling because of Hadley. Hmm. So I'd rather pick the guy who I think is the slightly higher in the batting order in both of them, which is a bit unlucky for Dev because I think he deserves to be in the side as well. But just the way that we're a little bit low on batting. I'm a little bit nervous about Imran Khan and Geoffrey Dujon at 6 and 7.
Hmm. That makes sense.
Which allows us now to bring both of them in if we had to and play around with that a little bit.
This is also a really party-heavy team. Lots of party boys in there, right?
I think in the 80s, I think you could come up with a more party boy team than this.
Maybe that's a quick picks for the future.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's certainly some people known for extracurricular activities in the side. I think that's fair. So the 11 that we have, or the 12 we have at the moment is Sunil Gavaskar, Gordon Greenidge, Viv Richards, Javed Miandad, Alan Border, Imran Khan, Geoffrey Dujon, Richard Hadley, Malcolm Marshall, Joel Garner, Abdul Qadir, and Ian Botham. I went Imran Khan, Richard Hadlee, Joel Garner, Ian Botham. Bayram went Viv Richard. It's pretty strong, yeah.
Yeah.
I probably win it if I go Kapil Dev, but the team needed a little bit of extra batting. That's what I do. I don't try and tank every single draft for no reason. Bayram went Viv Richards, Javed Miandad, Sunil Gavaskar, Alan Border. Some batting talent there, man.
Mm.
And Estelle went Malcolm Marshall, Abdul Qadir, Geoffrey Dujon, and Gordon Greenidge. Incredible in any list in the history of cricket that someone would pick Geoffrey Dujon ahead of Gordon Greenidge, but that's what you did.
No, I think it's a really good team. We've done well over here. Some honorary mentions, I suppose, has to be the other West Indian quicks and maybe throw Waseem Akram and Kapil Dev. Kapil Dev, definitely. Yeah. Those guys.
I think he's the most unlucky to miss out. Gower's an interesting one. Zahir Abbas, yeah. Greg Chappell.
Gooch.
Are probably two others. Gooch, Clive Lloyd, and Martin Crowe.
Yes. Martin Crowe, definitely unlucky to miss.
I just don't know how you fit those sorts of guys in. Like, as great as Holding is, I don't think he gets in ahead of any of our seamers. And so I'm not sure how you do that. And then Clive Lloyd and Greg Chappell and Zahir Abbas all and Martin Crowe, all fantastic, but they're just better batters than available than any of them at the time. It's interesting actually going back because it's not thought of as a great batting era, partly because the averages were quite low in that time. But you do have like four or five just incredible batters that really stand out in that list. And you talk about Gooch, like, you know, Gooch's reputation is better than his average. He's not particularly close to this side because you could make a very good claim, as Estelle did, that you have Haynes in ahead of him as well. So it's a really, really strong side that. And it is weird that wicket-keeping and spin is the two things that just...
Mm. Mm. It is, you know, really, really weird. But anyway, you guys let us know who we missed and let's hear the individual picks. Have we done that already?
We have done that. Do you want me to do it again? Have you forgotten your own team?
Read out the team.
You just picked a bunch of batters, dude.
Have you read out the team as a whole?
I think I did, but I'll do it again because you're now looking at me weirdly. Sunil Gavaskar, Gordon Greenidge, Viv Richards, Javed Miandad, Alan Border, Imran Khan, Geoffrey Dujon, Richard Hadlee, Malcolm Marshall, Joel Garner, Abdul Qadir, and Ian Botham.
That is quite strong. So let us know who you think won this particular draft. My money's on Jared because he's got some out-and-out superstars over there, especially when it comes to all-rounders, right? He's got three big ones and could have gone four big ones. He would have definitely... won it that way. But you guys let us know who you think won and who we missed. That's all for this episode of Crick Picks. We'll be back with you next week. I'll have more facial hair for that episode because, you know, this is not happening again. And have a good one, guys. Take care of yourselves and we'll see you next week once again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.